Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop and Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. Now, typically, you know, on a weekly basis here during COVID, we've been talking with musicians. But this time I'm going to be talking with someone who actually does kind of what we do here, and we talk about metal. This is a guy who has the coolest metal channel on YouTube. This guy goes digging through his crypt. You know what I'm talking about. It is Ken Escobedo from Ken's Death Metal Crypt. Ken, how you doing, man?
I'm doing just fine, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. It's kind of a trip to hear you chatting on this because you have your own thing, you know, it's like the two interviewers collide. So, where are you, by the way? Are you in like Colorado? Is that right?
No, actually I'm in the suburbs of Chicago, suburbs of Chicago.
Right on, man. So, I guess just jumping into it, I'm kind of curious about your backstory. You talk a lot about, some of the more obscure like CDs and demos and cassette tapes you've gotten throughout the years. How long have you been into metal?
Since 1982, since nice. I was the ripe age of 12 years old. Actually, it's the summer of 83. I'm sorry. I was 12 years old. It was the summer of 83. That's when I was introduced to metal by accident. Bought a record that I had no idea what I was buying. I bought it in spite of an older sister telling me not to buy it at a local department store. Okay. I bought said record because I had my own money, had no idea what I was buying, bought it again in spite of my sister and because of the album cover. The album cover caught my eye. Mm-hmm. Took it home, put it on the family turntable and thought it was the worst record I'd ever heard in my life. I didn't even know it was music. I didn't think it was music. I didn't like the music that was coming out of it. So, but I had to say I liked it so I didn't lose face to my brothers and sisters, my other siblings.
Yeah.
So I had to say I liked it. I really didn't. But the more I listened to that record, the more I looked at the lyrics and the cover, and I looked at the picture on the back of the band picture on the back of the album, and saw the chains and the leather and the knife and then the long hair and everything, I started understanding a little bit more about why these fellas were playing what they were playing. And that album was, that band was Venom. That album was, Welcome to Hell.
Wow. And just even in the name, like that being your first metal album, that's so symbolic.
Yeah. I had no idea what I was buying. Honestly, it was a complete system shock. I grew up in a very music orientated family. My family liked music. My mother and father were very big country music fans. They owned a lot of country Western albums.
Yep.
I had six sisters, older sisters, who were into anything from top 40 to Motown, to the Motown sound, to soul, to jazz, to just about anything.
Yeah.
So I grew up with a lot of different music in my life as a, mm-hmm. you know, in my childhood. But no one was into metal. So yeah. Metal, you know, and I've said this before, but, I didn't choose to get into metal. Metal chose me on that day in 1983, yeah. and it chose me to be one of its warriors for life.
I love that. So did, you just kept digging even deeper to it, I'm assuming? Yep.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I had an older brother who's 2 years older than me, and he I think he noticed I actually started liking the music. So he says, you know, those are like those bands you see in those magazines. What magazines? And he goes, the magazines down at the magazine store. So of course we take a bike ride over to the magazine store, and he points those magazines, and you know, there's Metal Forces, there's you know, other metal magazines, mm-hmm. and I just started looking through the pages and realized, you know, yeah, some of the guys in these other bands look like the guys in Venom, and I was intrigued, and I had to find out exactly who these other bands were. So that's where my journey started down the, you know, that's where it ruined my life.
So I'm curious. So I'm personally someone who, you know, I've never actually played in a band. I've done radio for a long time. I love music. I'm a music fan. I'm a music lover. Die hard. Have you ever like picked up an instrument and been in a band? Are you a musician yourself?
Yeah. Probably the earliest form was right out of high school. I was probably like 18, 19 years old. Tried playing guitar, mm-hmm. wasn't very good at that. Probably tried that for about 2-3 years. Was in different garage bands, we'll call them. Nothing that, sure. you know, ever record. We didn't ever record anything, maybe a rehearsal. I was always able to growl a little bit. So I just, you know, basically kept the vocals because I was a terrible guitar player. So after a few years of trying to play guitar, I just kind of sold all the equipment and decided, oh, I think I'm just going to stick with vocals.
Yeah.
But nothing ever really, you know, that sustained or that recorded anything up until, back in 2015, or actually it was 2014, September of 2014, myself and the ex drummer of the band Morg from Illinois, mm-hmm. Ted Van Tilburg, him and I collaborated and decided to, Ted wrote some music and said, hey man, check this out. We'll just mess around in my studio. What do you think? And I thought it was like super heavy. And so I put some growls to it and he loved it. And I said, hey, we should like do a band.
Yeah. And
so we did. And so we've been with the band Unnatural now for ever since 2014. And we have several releases out. Our first one being in 2016. And we've had some EPs and other releases out since then. But yeah, so yes, I am currently in a band. Yes.
That's killer. Have you guys played any gigs?
No, we're strictly a studio band just because we're a two piece.
Yeah.
We have actually thought about live situations. Pre-COVID, we did think about it. Yeah. We did discuss it. We thought about asking other friends of ours who are musicians about, possibly filling in for the live set. And we did get some, yes, we could do that for you. So we did fathom it. But we just decided, you know what, we're both in our 50s now. And we just decided, let's just stick to the studio thing right now.
Sure. Right on, man. Okay. Well, let's go back to those times. So you fall in love with Venom, you get these magazines. What do you recall what your first like metal concert or metal show was?
Ooh, first metal concert. That's a real good question. As far as first metal concert, I wish I had some epic story for you. I think I've been asked that question before, and the mm-hmm. answer is I do not recall. Okay. I do know, I want to say I believe it honestly was around 1983, I think. As I started getting into metal, I had a friend at school, and this was my eighth grade year, and he had an older sister who was, you know, really into metal. And I would often go to his house on weekends, ride my bike over to his house on weekends, and we would kind of shuffle through his sister's records, much to her dismay. Mm-hmm. We would rifle through her records and things like that. And we just like idolized her because we thought she was the coolest person on earth because she would wear like, you know, band shirts and she'd have all these pictures and posters all over her bedroom with yeah. you know, metal gods. And we just like worshiped the ground she walked on. And I went with him and his older sister. Their parents dropped us off at an Iron Maiden concert that was in Chicago.
Nice.
And I remember they even made special shirts for that show called Chicago Mutants Rule.
Nice.
I think, and it was such a whirlwind. I think that might've been the first metal concert I was at, but as I keep thinking about it, I think it was. And I don't remember much of it. I just remember it was loud. I remember seeing Iron Maiden a little bit. And I remember being just scared out of my mind because it was like one of the first concerts I had been to, and I didn't have like my mom and dad nearby or anything. So I was like terrified, but being a, you know, a 13-year-old kid, 13-year-old kid. But yeah, I want to say, I think it was Iron Maiden in 83 at Chicago Mutants Rule.
That's amazing, man. So I love talking to you because, you know, you got into metal with those like Venom and Iron Maiden and stuff like that. But being that this was the mid 80s and you were already into metal, I mean, your channel is called Kent's Death Metal Crypt. So bring me back to discovering death metal, because you must have been a fan of it as it formed, really.
Yeah, for sure. So my contention is that the first death metal album ever recorded is Possessed Seven Churches.
Okay.
That's what I contend. That is my opinion.
Yeah.
So I know that's not the most popular of opinions. I know a lot of the opinion is Death Scream Bloody Gore, and there's no wrong answer there. However, I do contend that Possessed Seven Churches was the first death metal album ever recorded.
With the song Planet Death Earth. Metal.
Right. And not just that, but you know, if you think about it, Kevin, you take a thrash band right now, you take a thrash band, you make them play more aggressive, you make them play heavier, you take them down a notch, make them play heavier, make them play more brutal, make them play faster. What do you call that? Death metal. It's called death metal.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt, Possessed Seven Churches brought to the table. Now, you know, we can talk about how it got defined, how it got redefined, how it got formed with other bands, how death metal got formed. But yeah, I was, after hearing something like Seven Churches, I was very in tune to the extreme. It had me looking for more, after hearing that album. I wanted more, and then of course got it with Scream Bloody Gore and so on. And after hearing Scream Bloody Gore, it just kind of, you know, it just kind of went downhill from there for, like I said, ruined my life. Very early 80s, in the 90s, very early, late 89, early 1990, that same band Morgue that I was friends with that Ted, the other member of Unnatural that he was in back in the early 90s. I had another very good friend that was in that band. His name was Brad Boldak. He was the bass player vocalist. He's in the band Absconderer now.
Okay.
But he introduced me, when I got introduced to him by his older brother, who I actually worked with. Brad and I made an immediate connection because we were both, you know, so into metal. And Brad introduced me to the fanzine, the world of fanzines and underground tape trading. This was late 1989. Yeah. I remember Brad sold me one of his copies of his fanzine at the time. He was doing a fanzine called Grim Death. And there was a section in it about tape trading. And I asked Brad, what is tape trading? Because I had no idea what that was.
Yeah.
And Brad said, oh, that's where you put a list together and you trade tapes with other people. And they, you know, you record stuff. So as soon as I saw that, I immediately typed out on a list, immediately put an ad in I think Brad's a fanzine, and then just started seeing ads for other fanzines, started doing the same thing. And that's where my tape trading day started, late 1989, early 1990. And that's when I discovered the underground death metal world, with the demos that I was getting in on these tapes, on these blank cassettes. And as I started writing more bands, more bands and more tape traders, and just learning about all these bands across the globe from every corner of the universe, it was just a magical time just to hear get these tapes and hear what was on. It was just incredible. But that's really where my journey started into the death metal world.
That's an amazing story. And I love hearing about that. I mean, I came into the world of metal a little past the tape trading days. Mine was more of the downloading on Napster kind of thing, you know, about 20 years or, you know, 9 years after that or 10 years after that. But so bring me back to those days. And I love talking about this. Was there an album or a tape from your tape trading days that you specifically remember, like getting your hair blown back by? Just like, holy crap.
Absolutely. One of the first tapes, demo tapes that I wrote to a band and purchased was Grave from Sweden.
Okay.
I saw an ad for them in a fanzine. I wrote them. I sent them $3 and I got back the Anatopius Corporis Human Eye demo from 1989.
Yeah.
Listening to other bands, you know, I had already been introduced to Autopsy, Severed Survivals, some other, you know, heavier things, but listening to that demo for the first time and hearing the song like Reborn Miscarriage and Extremely Rotten Flesh.
Yeah.
I mean, was mind blowing. Just the heaviness, the sheer aggression, the simplicity with the brutality.
Yep.
It destroyed me. It ruined my life. And I was never going to be the same again. And I knew at that point, I was somehow going to be entwined. My life would be entwined for the rest of my days in this thing we call death metal.
I love it, but man.
It was that demo. And that, I got to say, as far as an album, Kevin, Entombed, Left Hand Path.
Yes. R.I.P.
To LG. What a great, I had the pleasure of speaking to him before, throughout the years. I had met him, and what a wonderful person he was. And his legacy will carry on with his music. But Left Hand Path, the sheer guitar tone, heaviness of that record, the crushing guitar. We, the human race, had not heard an album that heavy until that album. We had never heard a guitar tone that heavy until that album. And
yeah.
I always call it the album that launched 1,000 bands.
Oh, dude, so many. And you know, just the chainsaw, just the primitive chainsaw. And there's so many. I mean, there's a subgenre called Entombed Core. You know?
Is that right? I've never heard that. That's good.
Bands like Black Breath, you know, Nails.
Sure.
Kind of Entombed Core, because it's a little core but very entombed.
Well, I've heard the HM2. I've heard that now they're calling it the HMC. Back then, Kevin, it was called the Swedish Sound or the Sunlight Sound.
Okay.
You know, Sunlight Studios.
Yeah.
Of course, referring to Sunlight Studios. So that's what it was kind of known as, you know, for the next year or two after that.
Yeah.
But now I'm understanding that they're calling it the HM2 sound.
Yep, absolutely, man. I remember I got a Rotten Sound t-shirt and it just has an HM2 pedal on the cover of it. I was like, that's a good t-shirt.
That's cool.
Yeah. Okay, so when we watch your videos, you have a backdrop of a very impressive metal CD collection. But I know that you're not just a CD guy. You have tapes you always display. You know, what is your preferred physical form of media?
Yes. Music? Yes. I'll take my metal any way I can get it. I'll be honest with you.
All of the above. Okay.
Honestly, I'm a vinyl guy. I love the sound of snap, crackle, and pop on the turntable.
Yeah.
You know, I love CDs, tapes. Like I said, I'll take my death metal and metal any way I can get it.
Yeah.
But I think if I had to choose, if I had a cassette, a vinyl, or a CD, and somebody said choose, I would probably most certainly always choose the vinyl first. Mm-hmm. I am a vinyl junkie. And yeah, so vinyl would probably be my most preferred. You know, obviously for media, it's the worst because it's, you know, takes up the most room. You can't listen into your vehicle. You can't, but nowadays, you know, you get downloads and things like that you can, you know, throw on your phone or your iPod or whatever and plug it into the USB port in your vehicle. So yeah, vinyl definitely is my first love and choice.
So I'm going to ask you a difficult question, man. And I don't know if you've cataloged this, but I have a feeling you might have a rough idea about how much metal do you own through all formats?
So I have 20, and yes, it is documented, Kevin. It is documented. It's all alphabetized.
Yes.
It's all documented. I have it all completely documented in a database. I have to.
Yes.
I think any collector, once they get to a certain point of a few hundred titles, if you don't have it documented and alphabetized, good luck. You know, good luck finding something because you're just not going to be able to find it. But as of today, I have just over 2,200 records, about 5,000 CDs, over 1,000 cassettes, about 1,045s, and it grows every day. So, and in that collection, it is 99.9% metal. I know that's a very, very, I know that's a very close-minded thing to say. Unfortunately, it's the truth. I am 100% a metal weenie. I only listen to metal. I only collect metal. The other 0.1% is probably a little bit of punk rock. I do have a little bit of punk rock, mm-hmm. In the collection. But it's 99% metal. I don't collect anything else. I don't really listen to anything else. I know it's a very unpopular thing to say, but I am not very versatile when it comes to music.
All right. Well, hey man, you at least like accept that within yourself. And also, you know what? I don't think, I have a feeling like you seem like a pretty level-headed guy. You don't judge other people or anything. It's just what you accept about yourself. Like, this is just who you are. And, you know, I mean, but the thing is there's so many different kinds of metal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no, and you're right, Kevin. I don't, you know, to each their own. Life is too short to compromise, man. If you like something, go for it. You know, as long as you're happy, I'm all for it. But yeah, I'm just completely just a metal head. And that's all I listen to every day of the week. I don't think a day goes by in my life that I don't listen to metal, whether it's death metal, black metal, heavy metal, power metal, new wave of British heavy metal. It just depends on my mood.
Yeah.
But I listen to all forms. Most forms of metal. Not a day goes by.
Do you ever get overwhelmed with the amount of stuff that you have and like choosing something?
No, I never have anything good to listen to. So that's what I keep telling my wife. when she sees me come home from the record store with a few records in hand, and she says, "Are you kidding me?"
Yes.
I don't have anything to listen to, hon. I have nothing down here. I don't know if overwhelmed. I would say I'm overwhelmed just because I'm used to it being here with me. You know, these things are, Kevin, you have to, I'm a metal nerd. Mm-hmm. And I love my records. I have a 16-year-old son. He's the love of my life.
Yeah.
But these records, you know, I've had some of these records since I was his age,
mm-hmm.
and they've been with me ever since. So these records and CDs and cassettes, these things I have, they are my bloodline.
Yep.
They're my firstborn. They are my light. They are my guidance. If it was not for them, I don't know where I'd be. If it wasn't for metal, I don't know where I'd be in life. It is,
they're your Bible, dude.
It's my passion. My passion, plain and simple.
Okay. So you brought it up. So I have to ask you, your wife, is she a metalhead? And if not, does she ever like go like, dude, you have enough?
No, my wife's a good kid. I got none against her, but she is not a metalhead. Luckily, because then I'd have to share some of this with her. But
there you go. Yeah.
No, she's not a metalhead at all. She doesn't mind certain things I put on. I don't think she. Now, my favorite band of all time is Iron Maiden. Mm-hmm. So that's my favorite band of all time. I have more Iron Maiden paraphernalia, posters, records than any other band in existence, metal band in existence. She doesn't mind if I throw on some Maiden. She doesn't mind some of the more softer metal. Like when I say that, I mean like power metal or just regular heavy metal, maybe some glam metal. She's not going to bug me too much. It's when you get into the real heavy undergang.
She doesn't want to hear Devourment.
She does not. She does not. She doesn't want to hear, you know, black metal screeching. She doesn't want to hear the last Marduk album or the last Immortal. She's not real keen on that, but my wife understands what this stuff means to me, mm-hmm. and she knows she can't take this away from me. Asking me to not do this is asking me to not be a man.
Yeah.
And she realizes that, and she knows that, and she knows this is just part of who I am and part of, you know, it's like my fingerprint, just like your fingerprint.
Yeah.
This stuff is with me forever. And she knows that. So she leaves me alone. You know, she might pound on the floor to tell me to lower the volume, but other than that, she's pretty good about leaving me alone.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing is like, she fell in love with you and then this is who you are. So if you were to take this away from you, you wouldn't be the complete Ken that you are.
And that, I think that's what she realizes that this is what makes me, this is my, again, it's part of my bloodline.
I mean, what if you all of a sudden got amnesia and just started listening to Maroon 5 and wanted to go, you know, go to like a Bare Naked Ladies concert? It would just be strange. Just, I don't know who this man is.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, Kevin. I've never heard those. I don't know what that
and
means.
And you're better for it. I work in radio, so sometimes I'm forced to know what those kind of things are. Okay, so I'm curious. So there's like an explosion with the underground death metal scene, and even in Seattle, like there's tons of sick bands like Fetid, Cerebral Rot, just so many sick Noroth,
Consecration.
Yep, Oxygen Destroyer, Roth,
Reburied.
There's so many sick, even in our scene and all across the United States, and specifically in the United States, but all across the world. In your opinion, you know, you're an OG in death metal, but what has fueled, in your opinion, the recent explosion of the underground death metal scene?
The need for extremity, the need for brutality. It was the same. I think it's the same as it was for people in my generation, where it was the need, you know, the need for more. It was the need for something heavier, the need for something faster, the need for something more extreme. And I think the bands today are just in need of that. And, you know, you hear it in their music. You hear it in their approach. And I know a lot of people that are my age or that are in my, generation, you know, they have an opinion. There's a lot of people that have the opinion that, you know, these newer bands are just aping or cloning or copying, the originators of the death metal movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say, hey, you know, you're going to take influence from something. So why not the originators of the movement? And, you know, I don't consider it aping or cloning or copying. I say, hey, you got an influence. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that what and again, some of these bands, what they're doing musically with their theory and their, you know, whether it's percussion theory or the way they're strutting. They don't even use power chords anymore. You know, they're just all over the place on the fretboard. It's amazing. And you know, I've said this before, that the future is bright for death metal with what I'm hearing from these new bands. So yeah, I say, you know, don't close the door on them. Mm-hmm. You know, especially, and I speak to the Generation X, you know, don't close the door on the newer generation of death metal. Cause if you listen to it, it's good. And there's a lot of great bands out there and there's a lot of young, great talent. And I am so excited for death metal. It's got such a bright future with these bands. I'm starting to pump my fist, Kevin. I'm throwing my fist in the air here because it's so exciting for these bands and the death metal scene and the death metal movement to be recaptured again. I think the younger generation is doing a hell of a job.
Well, I mean, you're seriously a cheerleader for the underground scene, man. And that's why I love your channel, is because, you know, you're so passionate about this music and, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I'm not going to say anyone specifically, but there's a lot of music, quote unquote, journalists, you know, that will have a lot of negativity toward thing and like a lot of critical, you know, and I get it, that they're critics, but you're a flag bearer of underground music. And that's why I wanted to talk to you. And it's really cool. It's refreshing to see someone who just brings so much positive energy to being a fan of this, man.
I appreciate your kind words, Kevin. It is. And thank you. And I should say the same to you. You know, you obviously using a platform so that people have a voice, you know, about metal in the underground. So thank you for what you do. But it's all about, it's a passion for me, Kevin. It's a passion. It's never going to go away. It never, you know, I'll be 51 this year. It's not going to go away. It never will. It will go with me to the end of my days. And I will, I promise, as long as the scene will have me, I promise that I will, with the channel and with other things that I may do in the future, because we're not finished yet, Kevin. We're not finished here.
Oh, yeah.
I promise, as long as the scene will have me, I will bring everybody some of the most devastating death metal on planet Earth.
Well, you talked about how, you know, the future is bright for death metal and you're so pumped on this new stuff that's coming out. In your opinion, like, what are some of your favorites that that you're hearing these days? Just like maybe a few names of bands that we should get on our radar.
Wharf Lurch from Florida, Mike Colby and Company, great band, heavy, sick, disgusting, great band. Exaugurate, they're from the southern states of the U.S. We also got, I'm going to keep it U.S. Let's go up to close to your area. I think they're, well, not too close, but they're North or South Dakota. You got Phobo Felic.
Okay.
They're another four piece that's just heavy as all get up. Mm-hmm. You got Writhing Shadows out of Pennsylvania. They're another dark band as well that just have this sense of darkness to their, an atmosphere to their death metal. But so many, man, just so many bands that I could sit here and name 100 of them for you. But if you watch the videos, you'll see tons of them there.
Well, I mean, I will warn anyone that might not be, you know, following him yet, be aware it can be dangerous to your bank account while watching a Ken's Death Metal Crypt video. Keep that in mind. Not saying don't do it, but, you know, beverages and Ken's Death Metal Crypt might be a little, you know, hard.
It's a dangerous game.
Exactly. So you might wake up, you know, and get some phantom, you know, charges and be like, oh my God, I just spent rent money on all this sick death metal. But hey, you know what? You'll be evicted, but have sick amount of death metal. So it's all good.
That's for sure. Oh, you also said the name Phantom, which reminded me of my good friend Phantom Slaughter from the band Worm. They're from Florida as well. They just got signed to a 20 bucks spin. Their new album Forever Glades will be out on 20 bucks spin. So there's another band. If you're not familiar with Worm, go check out Worm.
Okay. So on Metal Shop, we have a segment called From the Vault, and it's on at 11 PM. And that's when we dig something up, and it might be something that we haven't played in a long time, or maybe even never played, something that we're first discovering ourselves, or something that, you know, might just, we haven't spun for a while. Are there any old school artists? I mean, you have a ton of them. You put up so many cool old demos and tapes and stuff on your channel, but just for anyone who hasn't watched your channel yet, what are some old, maybe overlooked albums that we should hop on?
Ooh, wow. Some overlooked albums or demos.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Wow, that's a good question.
Maybe just bands.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Maybe that's the better question for me. So just got introduced to a band from Belgium called Dysuria.
Okay.
And I'll be uploading that demo on probably Friday morning to the channel. You're definitely going to want to check that out. It is some of the best. And if now it's from 1995, it's their Dodging Infinity demo. So if you're into the death doom thing and you want to hear it done well from 1995, you definitely want to check out Dysuria from Belgium and their Dodging Infinity demo. But that's definitely an overlooked one. I was not familiar with the band and got introduced to them. And then I contacted the band, and the band actually sent me an original copy of the demo.
That's awesome.
They're super overlooked. They had original copies from 1995 because I guess, you know, they didn't sell out. Yeah. So and that's amazing to me, because had I known about this band, I'd have told everybody and their brother to go
buy it.
It would
have sold out instantly.
Yes. So, you know, just, you know, any other bands that I could think of, Obscene Crisis from Canada. There was a band called Obscene Crisis from Canada that put out, I think it actually was a full length on cassette only at the time. Now, I mean, I think it was repressed on CD eventually. Mm-hmm. But that's another just wonderfully heavy, brutal album that nobody ever mentions. So I would say that. There was another band from Canada called Purulence. I just don't see enough or hear enough about when you talk about being heavy and disgusting and filthy and bloody and gory and all that, you know, all those characteristics. No one ever mentions enough about Purulence from Canada. They had a demo called Atrocious Execration, I believe it was. They had an EP called Inverted Decay, and then they did a split with a band called Amaimon. So never hear enough about Purulence from Canada either. But so many, Kevin. I could sit here for another hour and just Carrion Lord. There was another demo that just never saw the light of day. They were from Maryland, band called okay. Carrion Lord. I always loved that demo. Just so many bands.
and again, I advise you if you're looking for some new stuff or maybe some old stuff, like you said, go to Ken's Death Metal Crypt on YouTube. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the YouTube channel. So, what's the history of the channel? When exactly did you start it and what was the original idea behind it?
I started it back in August of 2014.
Okay.
Back August of 2014, the idea behind it was just to upload some demos. Mm-hmm. One day as I'm like literally playing some demos, here in the crypt, and I started looking at the demo covers for the 100th time, as I do when I'm listening to it. And, I thought to myself, I wonder how many people have actually heard this. You know, this is a really good demo. And I'll be honest, I don't even remember what the demo was, but I remember thinking to myself, like, I wonder if my buddies that, cause I got a lot of friends in bands, you know, my good friends in Cyanide, Cardiac Rest, got lots of friends in bands and whatnot. Yeah. And I thought to myself, I wonder if those guys have ever heard this. You know, I should somehow use the internet and like share this with them. So I just figured out, hey, I should like put it on YouTube, right? It's easy. So I looked through how to create a YouTube channel and a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Really easy. And I did that on YouTube. And it's really easy to do, really quick. And I set it up and I went ahead and I already had a YouTube account because you have to have an account to
watch stuff
or comment things like that. So, it was really easy to make the channel. So I made a channel. And I figured out how to digitize the demos from, you know, things. I started doing this, and honestly, I was more or less doing it to give the link to friends. Hey, go check this out. I uploaded this demo. Hey, go. I was going to do it for a group of friends and, you know, so we could talk about it the next time we had some beers or whatever. Mm-hmm. I figured I'd do it for a year or so and then just delete it, you know, whatever, no big deal, right? But as I started uploading things, I never advertised it to anybody other than a few friends, a handful of friends.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way, people started finding it.
Yeah.
And I just realized and started noticing I'm getting more and more of these. What are these things called? Subs. I don't know what this is. And lo and behold, I'm getting subscribers. I'm like, oh, these are actually people watching these videos. Wow. Yeah. People started commenting and asking me to post more. And it just kind of snowballed from there. So the first 5 years that I had the channel up until 2019, I was only uploading demos and EPs. That was it. I was only uploading stuff from the 90s, and I was first keeping it US only.
Okay.
I was only doing US bands and only it was dedicated to US death metal only. So then in 2019, I did an editorial. I just decided, I'll just say hi to everybody, talk about a few things, and no big deal. That editorial got a wonderful response from the metal community. The metal community is wonderful.
Yeah.
And they gave a great response to that editorial. I got a lot of support. And because of that, I decided to show my face a little more on camera as requested. And that's where we are today, where I just started talking about new releases, things I was getting in. And then from there, it just kind of, again, just that snowball effect where bands and labels started sending me things to get exposed on the view to the viewership of the channel.
Dude, your addiction has now fueled a way for you to get a sometimes free stream of sick music. Now that's when it starts to get really, really addicting.
It is, and it does. And it's, you know, again, Kevin, the metal community is what a wonderful bunch of people. I can't say enough how grateful I there's no word that can describe my gratitude to the metal community for the, all the support that they've given the channel. It's not my channel. It's our channel. It's all of our channel, because if it wasn't for their support, it would have been deleted a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it's the true heroes of that channel, of this channel, are the viewers, are the people that comment, are the bands that send things in, are the labels that send things in. Mm-hmm. Those are the real heroes of this channel, not I.
I like,
because anybody can do it, Kevin. Anybody could sit here in my seat in this chair and do the things I'm doing. It's that old cliche. You surround yourself with positive people, positive things happen to you.
Yeah.
It's easy to do a good job when you got good people around you. And that's what I have. I have the greatest supporters on planet Earth. So it's very, very easy for me to do what I do.
I love that, man. Now the world is starting to, you know, open up, and there's shows that are, being scheduled for the summer and whatnot. Have you planned any, you know, trips to go to shows or fests or anything like that? I'm planning a trip to my first Maryland Death Festival this year.
Oh, cool.
Next year, 2022. Do you have any plans for, you know, going out and seeing a show for once in a year and a half?
God, no. I'm too old anymore. I can't stand. You know what? About an hour after I'm at the venue, I start missing the couch. No, I haven't made any plans, to be honest with you, Kevin. I do know of a couple of shows coming up in the Chicago, in Chicago, mm-hmm. That I probably will attend, because they're very good friends of mine. There's a show coming up. Ooh, I think in August. I think it's, my good friends in Molder, Rotted, Cryptum. They're doing a show at Reggie's in Chicago. I will most probably attend that show. But right now, you know, no, I honestly don't, I don't have plans per se to go anywhere far from the couch on a weekend. You know, I'm an old man now, so I like keeping my weekends pretty, I like getting out in the lawn and then, doing the lawn on the weekends and then having some beers in the back patio. And that's my weekend, man.
I love when you post, doing back patio stuff, because you've always got death metal with you, man.
Always.
Beers in the in the back patio. You've always got the boom box with you. So
always.
Okay. So, I was curious about, what have been some of the, cause you've done some like kind of hangouts during the pandemic. You've had bands on your channel and stuff. What have been some of your favorite bands that you've been able to like, kind of connect with and interview, during
all of them.
This time?
Nice. All of them. I love them all. Everybody I've had on has been great. Every single band that I've had on, they've been more than gracious.
Yeah.
More than thankful, constantly thanking me for being, for giving them the opportunity to speak and for a voice on the channel. Cause that's really what it's all about, is giving the death metal, movement and bands and labels. I say labels cause that'll be anybody that's hearing this, I'll just go ahead and give a little bit of a sneak peek. But coming up, I do have next interview will be with label owners of death metal underground labels.
Killer.
We'll be talking to them. But yeah, although I have made some really good connections with I mentioned the band Warf Lurch, my good friend Michael Colby, who's in that band out of Florida. Him and I kind of really hit it off. And once after I had interviewed the band, and we still remain very, very good friends now, and we are constantly in contact. So, I've made a really strong connection with Michael, but yeah, it's just, everybody's been so great, Kevin. Like I said, that the support to the channel has been just overwhelming and wonderful and fantastic and great. And again, there's no word. Trust me. I looked for a word. I looked for a really cool passage or phrase or something to say that was going to make me sound really intellectual and really cool and really smart, that expresses gratitude. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't find it. So all I can say is thank you from the bottom of my heart, with the utmost sincerity. thank you to everyone that has supported the channel.
I hate to say it, but you're kind of a sweetheart for having such heinous taste in music.
Well, you know what, Kevin? Again, if you surround yourself with positive people, positive things happen to you. I am a positive person.
Oh, yeah.
I am the glass is half full as opposed to the glass is half empty kind of guy. I try to find the bright in every bad situation. Yeah. And I also just find it's easier to be nice. It takes less energy to be nice than to be an a-hole. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you always just, you know, you bring other people down. You don't bring other people up. And, you know, you just, yeah, you have it exactly right. And you know, looks like you have a nice home, a nice family, and all the sick music you can handle. So what's to be negative about?
Exactly right. We're everything's good here in the crypt, and it's again, all I can do is count my blessings and again, thank everybody for all of their support.
Okay, so I kind of buried the lead here with the fact that you do have something to kind of advertise. I saw on your Instagram page you have some sort of a fest or event coming up. I don't have the name of it specifically.
Yes, sir. Yes, this Saturday night, live, we will be, now the performances are not live, but we will be having what is called, come to be called Crypt Fest.
Nice.
Where we will have four bands doing 3 and 4 song sets that are pre-recorded sets. I will be streaming them live. Nice. I'll introduce the bands. We'll play the 3 and 4 song sets. And then after all the sets are done, we're going to have all the four bands that helped make Crypt Fest possible. And we are going to have just a chat with them, just talk to them a little bit and find out what's going on in each of their camps. And, take questions from the viewers that are going to be watching us live. And, we plan to have a really good time drinking some beers and of course, talking death metal.
I like it. And that's going to be on your YouTube. Is that right?
That'll be on the channel starting Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. The first set will be Exaugurate from the Southern States, followed by Writhing Shadows from Pennsylvania, then Phobophilic from South North Dakota. And then follow it all up to end it all up will be Warflurch from Florida. So really looking forward. Now, I'm so excited. Now, I have all the videos, obviously, but I am so excited for the viewers to get a glimpse at these bands. I am so excited for them to see what these bands put together for them. And it's so great. But we'll also on the night of the stream, at the start of the stream at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're going to go live with pre-orders with artwork by Mark Riddick and shirt designs. We have short sleeve, long sleeve shirts that are pre-orders. So they will take 3 to 4 weeks after ordering them. We're going to leave that site up for 1 week. And we'll give that site out Saturday night at the time of the stream. And you can order, we'll leave it up for 1 week and then we'll close it after 1 week. The orders will get sent to the printer. And then once I get them, they will be shipped.
Dude, that's so cool, man. Crypt Fest this Saturday. This episode is going out on Friday. So, awesome. You know, so this is, you know, you can get your subscription on, go head on over, you know, drink a few beers Saturday and just, you know, pop the screen up and rock out to see four sick underground death metal bands. And then Ken will be talking to them. So I don't want to take up your whole night. I do have two more questions though, and these are might be a little difficult for you, man, but I did give you a heads up. I was going to be asking you this one. So you have a little bit of a heads up. So we all know, you know, the big four of American thrash metal is what they call it. So what we got, Anthrax, Slayer, Metallica, Megadeth. If you were pinned down and you had to pick your big four of death metal, what would it be?
Whew.
And this is your big four. It doesn't have to be, you know, the political answer or something.
Sure.
Your personal.
Honestly, if I didn't say the band Death, I would, you know, if you're going to talk about a big four in death metal, you know, what Chuck Scholender and company did for the death metal movement, you know, is immeasurable. So definitely going to put Death, you know, in that list, mm-hmm. In the top four. You know, and then, you know, we got to show some love for the biggest selling death metal band on planet Earth today, which is Cannibal Corpse.
Of course.
I mean, if we don't bring up Cannibal Corpse, I mean, they're veterans, been doing this for what now, over 33 decades they've been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Just
still
recorded
putting out
an
great
album.
Music. Their new album's killer.
In the new album, you know, I'm sure it's gold. It went gold. They're still doing it. You know, they're guys my age and older, and they're still doing it. They're still out there head banging and fist bumping, and George is still out there growling his, you know, butt off.
Yep.
So kudos to them for still doing it all this time and doing what they do. Alex Webster and Paul you got to put Cannibal Corpse in that big four. And I love Cannibal Corpse. I have everything they've done. So I have, you know, everything they've ever put out, I have it. So, I shouldn't say everything because I don't have the demos, but I do have all the albums and EPs. But so let's see, that leaves us two more spots. Huh? I mean, I'll be honest with you, the band that launched 1,000 bands, you know, Entombed, I got to put Entombed in there. That the first, that, you know, Left Hand Path was the epitome of what Swedish death metal became.
Yeah.
That album was the epitome of what Swedish death metal and set the bar for not only Swedish death metal, but death metal across the globe.
Yes.
You know, and then even after that, you know, the Crawl EP, Clandestine, even going into Strange Eons and Wolverine Blues, those were good death metal records. So, I mean, I got to throw Entombed in there. And that fourth spot, I'm going to go with a band that I think has more influence even on today's scene than people give them credit for. If you listen to a lot of the new bands today, I hear an influence from this band that I'm about to mention that I don't think they get enough credit for this, but I'm going to go with Bolt Thrower from Great Britain. That cannon fodder death metal, that's what I call it. There are a lot of bands in today's scene that take influence from Bolt Thrower, and you got to listen for it. And you got to listen to song structure and chemical makeup of the bands. But when I contact these bands after they've sent me their demo or EP or whatever it is, and I tell them that, you know, I'm hearing a little bit of Bolt Thrower in there, you caught it, man. That's one of our influences is Bolt Thrower. So I'm going to put Bolt Thrower in the number four spot.
All right.
So for me, Death, Cannibal Corpse, Entombed, and Bolt Thrower.
Up there with, yes, man, that I like it, dude. And I like that you gave me the explanations with it too. So, that it's, you know, I couldn't ask for more, man. And that's why you're the best at what you do, Ken. So my last question, well, I can say it. You can't, right? So my last question is a question we like to ask everyone. And one of these days we're going to put a big master cut, a compilation of everyone who's ever answered this question. But if you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got that scar.
Yeah, I do have a scar. It's on the top of my head.
Okay.
The left side. If you take my left hand, or you take your left hand and put it towards the back, towards the back, I have a scar there with no hair. I was probably about 10 or 11 years old.
Uh-huh.
The house we lived in was a very old home, and it had that radiant heat, those old radiators that you see in the old houses, Victorian homes, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was an old radiator, and that's how we got our heat. It was radiant heat. And those things were cast iron, and they were hot to the touch. You know, we knew not to touch these things because they were hot. That's what generated heat. It was radiant heat. Well, these things were like cast iron, and we had them in the bedrooms of this home. And that's how the bedrooms were heated. We lived in a very old home at the time. And I was with two of my brothers and one sister, and we were in what we called the boys' bedroom, because I come from a very large family. So four boys had to share a bedroom. We had bunk beds.
Yep.
Two sets of bunk beds, and we had to share bedrooms. And we were in the boys' room, our room, and I was me and my brothers were horsing around, screwing around, and my older brother, we put pillows underneath our shirts and we were belly bopping.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was much larger than me.
Okay.
And we both ran full force at each other to belly bop with these pillows underneath our shirts. And I went flying back, being the little guy. I went flying back, hit my head on the radiator, on the register, and blood. All I remember was blood. And my sister screaming, my mom coming into the bedroom screaming, my dad being woken up. He was working midnights at the time. I remember my mom screaming and waking him up, because before he was supposed to go to work even.
Yeah.
And, my dad was old school. He says, he packed flour into my head and stopped the bleeding immediately. It stopped the bleeding. And, my mom said, he needs to go to the hospital, stitches. My dad said, he don't need any stitches. He's fine. I probably did need stitches. but I didn't get stitches for it. My dad wrapped my head and, he said, you're fine. Just tell the teachers at school, you can't go to gym tomorrow. And, that's what we did. You know, like I said, it was back in 1982. So things were different back then.
Yeah.
You didn't go to the doctor for a cut on your finger. If it wasn't falling off and bleeding it, you were good to go. So, but that was a scar I still have till this day, and that'll probably always be there. And that's how I got it.
Walk it off, kid. Walk it off.
Walk it off. That's right.
It's a good story, man. Absolutely. So, all right, man. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you, Ken, from Ken's Death Metal Crypt. Again, Crypt Fest is this Saturday. Can you give us the time one more time?
7 p.m. Central Time.
All right. Awesome, man. So that's 5 p.m. our time here in the Pacific Northwest and Seattle area. So 5 p.m. grab some beers, get with a friend, and watch some sick death metal on Ken's Death Metal Crypt. Do you have anything you'd like to mention before we let you go, or shout out?
I just want to say thank you to you, Kevin, for having me, and thank you for what you do and giving again the death metal underground a voice like you do. So thank you to you.
Absolutely.
And once again, just thank you also to the metal community, to the bands, to the labels, to the viewers, from anybody who comments, writes a comment, it takes the time to watch a video, to the band who sends stuff here to the Crypt or a label. All I can say is thank you for all your support. And as long as you guys have me and want me to be, here and do this, I promise you, I will lead us into the future, and we will together wave the banner of death metal high.
Dude, that's an epic ending. All right. Thank you so much, Ken.
Thank you, Kevin. Have a good night.
You too.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.